This is Nightline.
Tonight, fast fashion.
Giant Temu unboxing.
From malls to apps to online shopping, fast fashion is everywhere.
Now we have kind of instant fashion, throwaway fashion.
But where do all those clothes end up when we're done with them?
Y cada vez que vengo, hay más jeans. Pero a este le llaman vertedero de jeans.
Part of ABC's The Power of Us series, taking you inside one of the real costs of fast fashion and how you can help. Plus, Trump on trial. Opening statements in the Trump hush money case, making him the first president to ever face criminal court proceedings.
It's a very, very sad day in America, I can tell you that.
Taking the stand, former National Enquirer CEO David Pecker. Explosive details from inside the court. And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If I could turn back time, icon Cher. And flying high again, metal madman Ozzy Osbourne will be having a celebration with Kool & the Gang. And a select group of other artists at this year's induction ceremony.
Nightline. We'll be right back. Let's celebrate. It's all right.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. Social media and so-called fast fashion makes it easier than ever to find and purchase a constantly updating wardrobe. As we buy, many of us donate our cast-offs and maybe feel we're making some sort of positive difference. But ABC's chief climate correspondent, Ginger Z, shows us where much of that donated clothing often ends up. Part of our network-wide Earth Day series, The Power of Us.
Today's a great day.
Let me show you what I got from H&M because I don't even know what I got from H&M.
We've seen the TikToks.
Giant Temu unboxing. Huge.
This dress.
Fast videos of people consuming fast fashion.
The largest Zara haul you have ever seen.
I don't even know where to start. Are you joking?
Showing off their hauls from a growing number of brands that often make trendy fashion quickly and cheaply available to consumers. Now we have kind of instant fashion, throwaway fashion.
But what if I told you that these shopping habits have major repercussions, not just here at home, but also around the world?
From production to purchase to where our clothes go when we're done with them, a long, polluting journey that most of us are a part of.
The average American buys 16 new items of clothing every 3 months.
I've been on my own mission to do my part.
Starting tomorrow, for 90 days, I won't be buying any new clothes.
If you do the No New Clothes Challenge, you're saving almost 10 pounds in waste.
Back in the early 90s, Americans bought 40 garments per year. Today, it's closer to 70, and only a fraction of that actually gets reused.
And then, that bag often gets kind of blindly donated at a bin or a site like this.
But a majority of the clothing that goes in there is not being resold or used here in the United States.
The volume is too high. There is no place for these garments to go. Clothing has the same carbon emissions as the aviation sector.
The U.S. sends away more used clothing than any other country in the world. But there are companies and individuals starting to look at this problem and come up with solutions.
Globally, we throw about 85% of textiles into landfill. What that means, particularly for the United States, it's about 112 pounds per person per year of clothing, accessories, and home goods that go into the landfill.
Among them, Trashy, a textile take-back business that claims to be more transparent.
In my closet, it's not just a donation pile.
It has towels, old socks, underwear, and you'll take it all?
We take almost everything. We'll take your old sports bra, we'll take leggings, we'll take worn jeans, and this is the place that we process it.
Good morning.
I brought my own bag of used clothes to see how the process works.
When we talk about sorting and grading, that really is the process for figuring out what's in your bag, what has value, where it can go.
Trashy then figures out where your clothes can be reused for a price.
So the bag costs $20. You then receive what we call Trashy Cash, and that's our reward system. A $20 bag, you actually get $30 back in Trashy Cash.
Trashy has partnerships with many brands, from Regal Cinemas to Lululemon.
It's not just clothing for clothing. You don't want to be the feedback loop that says, go buy more. Right, and if that is what you want to do, that's great. That option is there, and that's a reality of everybody's lives. But we like the idea that you can cross-pollinate and spend it on travel or an experience.
After the clothes are sorted, they leave this warehouse in El Paso, Texas, and cross the border into Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, where the clothes get further processed and ultimately shipped internationally.
About 60% to North America and Central America. Then we provide about 20% to Eastern Europe, 10% to Asia, and then it's a smattering of other countries into South America as well.
Trashy says they partner with this facility to keep their clothing out of landfills. They claim that each of their bags prevents 15 pounds of clothing from ending up in them.
To the best of our ability, nothing ends up in landfill.
This remote area in the Atacama Desert in northern Chile is where many of our used clothes go to die. Chile is the largest importer of used clothing in Latin America and the fourth largest in the world. The sandy dunes transformed into an illegal dumping ground, at one point so big it was visible from space. Up to 60,000 tons of clothing get dumped here every year. Now, through frequent burning and burying, that massive pile has shrunk.
¿Ustedes ven todo esto acá? Polvo por todos lados. No solamente el polvo, basura.
Janet del Transito Guzmán Ormeño lives in Alto Hospicio, near the landfills. She says that she's worried that the smoke from all that burning is making her daughter sick.
Por ejemplo, a mi hija le pasa eso. Ya con mucho, mucho humo, uno se asfixia. Es muy tóxico.
The clothes first arrive in the nearby port city of Iquique, where barges from all over the world show up.
Tanto de Estados Unidos, ropa americana, pero también de algunos sectores, incluso de Europa, especialmente desde España, los costos lo ha pagado el país y los costos lo ha pagado la región y Alto Hospicio.
José Miguel Carvajal is the governor of the region. He says that the dumping problem started about a decade ago.
Cuando no existieron restricciones, cuando no existieron incentivos en poder corregir esta situación.
The governor says that the lack of proper oversight and accountability from the higher levels of government has exacerbated the problem.
Y afecta particularmente a aquellos menores de edad o personas adultas mayor que tienen más complejidades. Y esas instituciones, que son precisamente aquellas donde gobierno tras gobierno se van implementando ciertas medidas, sin duda que están llegando tarde a prevenir estas situaciones.
We reached out to Chile's Ministry of Environment and did not receive a response. Some of the folks that live there have turned the overflow of used clothing into a business opportunity, like in this open-air market. Some clothing even seen with tags still on.
Y cada vez que vengo hay más jeans. Pero a este le llaman vertedero de jeans. Acá solamente se puede ver jeans.
Maria Fernando Pizarro Torres is an artisan trying to make beauty from these ashes, taking advantage of the seemingly endless supply of free material right at her doorstep.
Miren, por ejemplo, este es Holiday, tenemos Wrangler, tenemos Zara. Ahí como pueden ver, se pueden encontrar pantalones Zara, se puede encontrar Gap.
Maria takes 15 to 20 pairs of jeans every time she visits the landfills. Her boutique in Iquique shows off all her upcycled goods.
Sentía que había tanta basura y si puedo rescatar un 1% de lo que está en los vertederos, ya mi corazón se siente más tranquilo, que estoy haciendo algo, poquito pero algo.
Lo que queríamos está dada porque queremos que donde habían vertederos hoy día se convierta en parque. Por eso que nos inquieta mucho el poder enfrentarlo a la brevedad. Pero no podemos ocultar el dolor, la rabia, la frustración que causa que también hay responsables de esto.
Large-scale problems like these call for large-scale solutions. Experts say legislation can be a start. In Washington, the Bipartisan Americas Act was introduced last month to provide financial incentive to companies that reuse materials. In one of the world's fashion capitals, the Fashion Act, a New York State bill aiming to bring more transparency to the industry. Big name celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio, Jane Fonda, and Angelina Jolie are behind it.
fashion needs basic guardrails in place so that the balance of growth is balanced out with the needs of the planet.
The proposed law would require the biggest clothing sellers to disclose their environmental social due diligence policies or face fines.
There's also a transparency issue in the back end.
Yeah, so it's an opaque system. The problem is the volume.
But there are some things you can do too.
If you're talking to an individual, what is the most powerful choice they can make to change their relationship with fashion?
One, from a personal purchasing standpoint, is how many times we're wearing that garment. And so it's an invitation to love your clothes and wear them more. And then second, we are people who have a voice with our policymakers to say, we want this piece of legislation passed. We need to have basic rules in place so that we can have a system that is going to thrive today, tomorrow, and in the future.
Our thanks to Ginger. You can catch more of our Power of Us series throughout this week on ABC. When we return, what happened today in court during the first ever criminal trial of a U.S. president?
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Today in New York City, proceedings get underway in former President Trump's hush money trial. Here's ABC's senior investigative correspondent, Aaron Katursky.
Donald Trump walking into the Manhattan courtroom where today, for the first time in history, a jury heard testimony in a criminal case against a former American president.
It's a very, very sad day in America, I can tell you that.
With Trump slouching in his seat and sometimes closing his eyes, prosecutor Matthew Colangelo began his opening statement charging Trump orchestrated a criminal scheme to corrupt the 2016 presidential election. Jurors listening intently, some taking notes as the prosecutor laid out his case, accusing Trump of falsifying business records to disguise a $130,000 hush payment to porn star Stormy Daniels days before the election so voters wouldn't find out about her claim of an affair. At the time, Trump was under pressure. News had just broken of the Access Hollywood tape Trump caught on camera bragging about groping women. The prosecutor today quoting Trump's own words to the jury.
When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
You can do anything, the prosecutor slowly reciting to the jury. Prosecutors said the tape's impact was explosive, and Trump and his campaign were deeply concerned. So when Trump learned Stormy Daniels was shopping a story of their alleged liaison, prosecutors said he was adamant it not come out, fearing it could have been devastating to the campaign. Prosecutors allege at Trump's direction, his fixer, Michael Cohen, paid Daniels off and agreed to cook the books. So when Trump reimbursed him, it appeared as routine legal bills. The prosecutor called it a conspiracy to influence the 2016 election to help Donald Trump get elected. Election fraud, pure and simple. In his opening statement, defense attorney Todd Blanche insisting President Trump is innocent. President Trump did not commit any crimes. I have a spoiler alert, he told the jury. There is nothing wrong with trying to influence an election. It's called democracy. There is nothing illegal about entering into a non-disclosure agreement, he continued, period. He said Trump was unaware of any effort to camouflage the payment to Daniels as a business expense, and he told the jury Michael Cohen, a key prosecution witness, has an obsession with getting Trump. He cannot be trusted. But prosecutors insist the alleged criminal conspiracy to protect Trump involved others, including their first witness, David Pecker, the former National Enquirer publisher who once called Trump a personal friend. As Pecker took the stand, Trump leaned forward, arms crossed, an angry look on his face. Pecker has acknowledged buying negative stories about the candidate, only to bury them, a practice known as catch and kill. On the stand, Pecker was blunt. We used checkbook journalism. We paid for stories. He's testifying under a subpoena, having cut a deal with prosecutors to avoid charges himself. He was only on the stand a few minutes today, but he'll be back tomorrow. Leaving court, Trump, who denies the affair with Daniels, tried to downplay the case against him.
It's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing in terms of the law.
Our thanks to Aaron. Joining me now is ABC News executive editorial producer John Santucci. So, John, the person we heard from today, David Pecker, the former publisher of the National Enquirer, the first witness for the prosecution, why is he so important?
He is the guy that was a part of this scheme with Donald Trump and Michael Cohen, catch and kill. So they had a deal, the three of them, when a negative story was heard about, rumored about of Donald Trump, David Pecker would catch it, pay the person off and kill it, make the story go away. He's the one, Byron, that multiple times would lean into that friendship with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump would say to David Pecker, help me make these things go away. And what prosecutors are going to show that David Pecker, Donald Trump, Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels, which this case is focused on, this was not the only time. This was an ongoing relationship they had to basically protect Donald Trump.
And speaking of Michael Cohen, if you listen to the defense's opening argument, you would have thought Michael Cohen was the person on trial. Why is he so central to this case?
He is the central figure to this case. None of this would have happened if Michael Cohen and Robert Mueller hadn't spoken years ago. It's the whole reason this case has come to fruition, because Michael Cohen at one point has said in the past he would take a bullet for Donald Trump. He described himself as Donald Trump's pit bull. That pit bull has flipped on Donald Trump. If Michael Cohen had never said anything to prosecutors years ago, none of this would have ever happened. This was Donald Trump's fixer, Byron. This was the guy that when the situations like this would happen, Michael Cohen would make them go away. It's all because of him that Donald Trump's in court.
Well, in layman's term, Cohen, though, is a convicted liar, basically. Mm-hmm. So how does the prosecution rehab his image to say, this guy's lied a lot, but you can believe him here?
They did exactly that in opening statements. They owned it in opening statements. They say, we know Michael Cohen has gone to jail. We know he's did this. We know he's lied for Donald Trump. But here's the thing. It still happened. He still did it. And now he is speaking the truth. He's got the records to back it up. And when he gets on that stand, not only are prosecutors going to have to deal with that, as soon as he's done on direct examination, you know, based on those statements in court today, Donald Trump's team is going to do everything they can to tear him down.
As it relates to Mr. Trump, this is a man who's been in control of most spaces most of his adult life.
Yeah.
You know him well. How difficult is him to sit in this courtroom in silence?
Oh, the struggle is real. I mean, you saw his body language in court today. He's passing notes. Our Olivia Rubin was in court, said he shook his head repeatedly. This is Donald Trump under somebody else's direction. Who would have ever thought it took 70 plus years for somebody to tell Donald Trump to sit down? He has to listen. And this is just day one. Donald Trump has to get his behavior under control, because here's the thing, Byron. It's not just me, you, and the judge and others watching it. It's the jury. And body language, at the end of the day, as we all know from covering trials, tells a lot.
John Santucci, you always welcome on Nightline. Glad to have you. I'm sure we'll be talking again during this trial.
Thank you, Byron.
When we come back, Cher now slated to join the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Turn back time when something she once said about the ID.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
And finally tonight, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has named its 2024 inductees. Do you believe in love after love? Cher can believe the honor after years of being passed over, though she recently told Kelly Clarkson she wouldn't accept the offer if it came.
Are you serious?
You know what? I wouldn't be in it now if they gave me $1 million.
Are you serious? I'm
not. Family Affair singer Mary J. Blige. Let's get it, funk upon, funk upon, up in this also named to the class of 2024. Ozzy Osbourne, Foreigner, Dave Matthews Band, Peter Frampton, A Tribe Called Quest. They'll all celebrate with Kool & the Gang at the induction ceremony in October, which will stream live on Disney+. Congrats to all. That's Nightline for this evening. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.